Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call, our maiden voyage here on 107.1.
Hey.
Now, for those that are not familiar with CCTA, that stands for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we are a grassroots nonprofit organization, nonpartisan organization, and I have our chairman, Glenn Fink, here in the studios with us. And Glenn, you want to read our mission statement so people will know what we're all about.
Okay, I sure will. Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association is a grassroots, nonprofit, nonpartisan organization, advocates for minimum government and maximum freedom. We are dedicated to the preservation of free enterprise and the United States Constitution. Excessive taxation upon citizens is unconstitutional, immoral, and a complete contradiction of success through the free market system. We are dedicated to serve our community, our state, and our country by oversight, research, public education, and the advocacy in the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of the government. And I guess I'd maybe talk a little bit about how our organization operates. We are a 501c3. So that's critical to us. We do have bylaws to help ensure we're compliant to our operating principles. So we operate with what I call member volunteers. And our organization is decentralized, which I think is critical to our success. The work of the body of the organization is done through committees. And the committee chair and their folks are able to, basically, they are able to do their work without oversight by the rest of the organization. They'll give updates to the member at a member meeting, which is an open meeting that anybody can attend once a month. If they need funds, they have to come to the organization for CCTA funds. But to be honest with you, these organizations, they tend to be self-funded. One, they don't use a whole lot of money. It's all about energy and effort. And when they do need money, a lot of times they're self-funded. And so I think that's critical. But the key to our success is that we've got a key core group of passionate, energized members who are action and results oriented. And the most important role that I have as a chair is to get out of the room.
Well, Glenn, I appreciate that introduction to the group. And Glenn is our current chairman. And I mentioned this was our maiden voyage here on 107.1, but we're not new to this. Folks, this is in November. We started this 3 years ago. We were on another station, and we got the opportunity to make this change. Thanks to Lockwood Phillips and Ben Ball sat down and talked with us, and it allowed us to do a couple of things. Number one, it increased our time from a 30-minute show to a one-hour show, so we get to cover more and present more of the facts that we have out there to you. Number two is that we get to reach a different audience. You know, 3 years on the same station, the same people, that's a good thing, but there are other people that we weren't getting to that now we're able to reach in this market. So we welcome you to CCTA Wake Up Call. We hope you like what you hear and that you'll tune in weekly every Sunday at 11 a.m. right here. As Glenn mentioned, we have a number of committees that perform all the functions of CCTA, and they work independently. And we're going to get around to introducing you to some of those committee chairs here in just a moment. Hal?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Rick, that our format will change a little bit, too, as becoming part of the family there at the talk station. We'll change our format just a little bit, but
that goes right along with having the hour show.
Right.
We're going to have a little bit more back-and-forth discussion and debate and try to get some opposing views and opinions in. More guests on the show rather than just having us. So we're looking forward to making those format changes. Also, we've got some new sponsorships I want to talk about. First of all, we want to thank the sponsors that have stuck with us over the past years and helped us be a success on the air. And first of all, that's Right Wing Granny is a blog, a conservative blog. And we happen to have the writer of that blog is one of our members here. She's actually our secretary, but she's had that blog for a number of years. Mary, what's your typical number of people accessing it on a daily basis?
I'm running now between 15 and 20,000 hits a day.
So as you can see, she's attracts a lot of attention with her blog. Again, that's rightwinggranny.com.
And subtitle, not quite ready for the rocking chair, and I'd say she ain't nowhere near ready for the rocking chair.
We thank you for sponsoring CCTA Wake Up Call. Gladys Sussell is a nutrition consultant. Gladys, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I am a certified nutrition consultant, and I work with people to look at their diet and their lifestyle and see how we can improve that so that they will have a healthier life. And we do that through Shaklee supplements, and part of the proceeds of it go to fund our Hillsdale Scholarship Fund that CCTA has.
Gladys, right. I recently went online and took your wellness survey.
Good. Did you find it of value?
I did. I found it real interesting.
Good. Thank you.
I did the same, but the other thing, she's a leader in the finance area for the organization. Right. So thank you.
And Gladys, I really appreciate you sponsoring CCTA. You've been with us since the beginning, and you've been loyal, and we appreciate that. Also, B&J Seafood and the NC Fisheries Association are sponsors, have been with us for a long time. S&D Gun and Knife Show. CCTA is present at every S&D Gun and Knife Show that's held in New Bern, Jacksonville, and Greenville. We have our members there passing out free constitutions and there to talk with you about CCTA and current events that are going on in our legislature and local politics, and we love to interface with you there at the gun shows. Bite Me Firearms, we're proud to have them as a sponsor. New sponsors that we have, County Compass, that's Beaufort Observer also, right?
And Beaufort Observer, right. Mm-hmm.
Professional Aldo here in New Bern, North Carolina. We appreciate those new sponsors coming on board to help us get the word out to you. And speaking of sponsors, we're going to take this opportunity to take a break right now and hear from some of our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment. We appreciate our sponsors, large and small, because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you this program. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant. Also, Panicelli's Pizzeria, a family-oriented pizzeria in River Bend. Bite Me Firearms on Old Cherry Point Road in New Bern. And thanks to Sherwood Caraway, S&D Gun and Knife Shows is also a longtime sponsor. Another great supporter is RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news. That's RightWingGranny.com. B&J Seafood, specializing in fresh-caught North Carolina seafood on Highway 70 East in New Bern, and the County Compass, with thorough and honest news coverage, distributed free and serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Please stop by and support our sponsors. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and we've been introducing you to members of CCTA, specifically the chairs of some of our committees, and we've got quite a few here, haven't we, Hal?
We have 12 people here that are key to the operations here at CCTA. Many of them are officers and chairmen of various committees that we're going to be talking about.
Earlier, Glenn read our mission statement and talked about how our organization works through committees, and I'd like to introduce some of those committee chairs now. One of the biggest turnouts we have at our public meetings is whenever we have a meeting on Second Amendment. And we have Randy Seiler with us. He's chairman of our Second Amendment Committee, and he's got some new activities going on there. Randy, tell us what's going on with Second Amendment Committee.
Well, I mean, just really we've had a couple opportunities, and certainly is a big issue with the upcoming election, the idea of gun control and regulations and restricting the freedoms, basically the liberty of our citizens. And for those of you that are listening and perhaps maybe trying to get an idea of what we're all about, I would urge you to get a copy of the Constitution and look at it. There's a lot of ways people discuss the Second Amendment. They try to parse certain words, like, for example, the word militia, and try to define it based on what our founding fathers say and various things. It also appears in the Fifth Amendment. Most people don't know that. the context of the document's extremely important. And looking at its purpose and how it was written, I think that'll help you understand how we as citizens, we have a robust amount of liberty, and essentially the Constitution and the amendments are telling the government to leave us alone. It's not granting us any rights. And
well, while you're talking about the Constitution, you made a statement the other night at our meeting about who the Constitution was written for. You want to repeat that for us?
Well, in a sense, and part of some other things that I do in trying to promote that, obviously, in other venues, but the Constitution was written to regulate the central government, which the Constitution created. It creates by virtue of a contract or a compact, as Thomas Jefferson referred to it, of an agency, the federal government being the agent of the principles, the states and the citizens. Most of us have forgotten that or have not ever been taught that. And we tend to think our government operates federal government down. In reality, our government should operate from the citizens up. And it's controlled by the citizens. We've seen that in the Gettysburg Address. You've seen that in other places. But if you were to read the Declaration of Independence carefully, which is actually the framework for the Constitution, you'd find out that the reason the government exists is to secure pre-existing liberties and rights of its citizens. The Second Amendment just happens to address one of those. Read it carefully. It does not give us any rights. If you were to interpret it that way, you have to look at the First, the Third, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, Seventh, and then the Eighth. None of those are granting rights. They are all restricting federal government from excess and abuse of those rights. And if that's true for 1 through 8, except 2, how can it not be true for the Second Amendment? And I think context is so important when we look at the Constitution and understanding why it was written in the first place.
Randy, may I make a plain English observation about the Second Amendment? When you have a sentence, and part of it is declaratory, and part of it states reasons, any stating of reasons in no way takes away from the declaratory portion of that sentence. So it can stand on its own.
Right. You look at the commas, and that's what Rayner's talking about. Look at the fundamental sentence. But I think even beyond that, you have to look at the context of the whole document. The document was not giving citizens any rights. The document was written to restrain and restrict federal government. And we've got to get back to a proper understanding of it. And that's true for the Second Amendment. It's true for our role as citizens. And I certainly invite any questions and that our audience might have with regard to that. And I just want to help us all stand up and be the citizens that God intended us to be and that we've been blessed to be by the framework of our founders.
And if you have questions, you can submit those at cctaxpayers.com. If you go online to cctaxpayers.com, you'll find a contact form, and you can use that form to submit questions to the show. And if it's on the Second Amendment, Randy will get back with you on that. Now, Randy, it's being understood that the Constitution didn't give us any rights. You do agree, however, that we do have the right to defend ourselves and to own firearms, correct?
Absolutely.
Where did those rights come from?
Well, actually, they come inherently from our Creator.
Absolutely.
We see that in the Declaration of Independence, and it talks about nature's law and nature's God. You cage a badger and put him in the corner. He's given certain rights, inalienable rights, and one of them is self-preservation. We certainly aren't less than that.
Can you real quickly tell us about some classes that you're presenting to CCTA?
I wanted to mention Randy sounds like a school teacher because he is a school teacher.
I think what Rick's talking about is just some classes. I am working on some firearms certification classes and various things that to make sure we bring the right credentials to the table. And here shortly, going to be attending the Justice Academy with North Carolina to get some further certification. So we're not wanting to just talk about these things. As Glenn said, we try to be involved. We are committed as citizens to do our part to support these principles.
All right. Well, thank you, Randy. Mary, you took a class from Randy, right?
Yes, I would like to mention I did take a basic firearms and firearm safety course from Randy because I had moved here from a state that didn't have very liberal gun laws, and I had never been around guns, never knew anything about them. And it was very educational. I learned a lot, and I really appreciated what I learned in that class.
Thank you. So you feel confident now?
Well, now I will be very honest. I have not gone out and bought a gun, but I feel that I know more than I did when I started. And at some point, if I decide that I want to purchase a firearm, I will at least know what I'm getting into and know what's involved.
It's not this unknown,
yes,
horrible entity that's out there, is big some fear thing anymore.
And no, and I don't think, to be very honest about, I realize that everyone has the right to purchase, but I think it makes more sense to get educated before you purchase. Right.
Well, I think that's true with pretty much anything we do. We should have information, absolutely.
Well, I took the same course, and I'll tell you, I have owned a firearm for many years, but after taking this course, I felt so much more confident in the way I handle it. We went out for practice. I feel confident that I could use it if I had to in that situation. So I really thank you for that, because you've instilled that confidence in me.
And I'd like to mention also that those courses are free. And all you have to do is come to a CCTA meeting, get with Randy, and get signed up for that. And talking about the courses that Randy's given, the education that he's given, that's one of the key elements of CCTA. One of the things in our mission is educating the public. That's why we give away the Constitution. We have an education committee, and the chair of that committee is Nancy Murdoch. Nan, welcome to the show. Could you tell us a little bit about the CCTA Education Committee?
Yeah, when I was chair, I don't really know where this came from, except maybe it was divine providence, but I had read the book, The 5,000 Year Leap, and we were having a meeting, and I said, I think we should do a book study about this with this book. And that really did start a whole lot of things. Gosh, I guess we've done the 5,000 year leap, not 5,000 times, but it feels like it's quite a few. And now I even write a column, a weekly column for the Beaufort Observer, and we're doing the principles. And that's what the 5,000 year leap is about, the 28 principles of liberty. And Cleon Skousen, the author of the book, makes the supposition that we just sort of amble along for 5,000 years with a wheel and fire and a few other little basic things, maybe a fork thrown in here and there. But once the United States was created, we had an idea, an ideal that surpassed anything that ever had been tried before, and that was that all men were free. And liberty was the number one law of the land. And once that got established, we jumped from that, from the 5,000 year leap all the way into the future, where we went from the wheel to the spaceship.
And there was one more element. We were entitled to the fruits of our labors.
Exactly.
So we labored diligently.
We worked hard because we knew the king wasn't going to take all of our money like he had been doing in the past. So anyway, that sort of started something. And then we have had a number of book studies. And I was writing down the different books. I'm sure I can't even remember them all that we have done over the years. And I know for myself, I did not get a education that that would make me civically responsible, and I feel like that is pretty much the common denominator across the board. In fact, we have a vetting committee that vets candidates. Well, I was astounded when I read this one candidate's reply. One of the questions is, which of the founding fathers do you most admire? The response was, I have never studied any of our founding fathers in depth enough to say which I most admire.
Now, let me clarify for people that didn't hear. This is a candidate for office in the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm. At the state level, not the local level, the state level.
And our vetting committee presents the same questions to all the candidates that are invited. They are invited, and if they accept, they get to take this survey, and that's pretty shocking.
It is pretty shocking. It gets better.
Better or worse?
Well, yeah, it's a matter. Which president do you most admire? I have never studied any of our presidents. There are blemishes on all of them. Well, yeah, they would be human. Where do individual rights come? Individual rights come from our Constitution. Wow. That means that if the Constitution can give you your rights, they can take them away,
That's
too.
That's right. And I think Randy did a good job of covering mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that here is a person that no doubt will have to take an oath to support and defend the Constitution that this individual knows nothing about. That's pretty scary.
It is. It is. Well, you mentioned the vetting reports, and Hal James is the committee chairman of our vetting committee, and a number of the people here tonight serve on that committee. Hal, you want to tell us a little bit about the way the vetting committee operates?
Sure, Rick. As Nan's already mentioned, we asked each candidate the same 15 questions. Last election, we had it up to about 25. And we realized that it would work better if we shortened it a little bit, so it's down to 15 questions. But they're very telling. And I've had a lot of compliments from various people about how that much they can learn by reading the answers to those questions. And each candidate gets the same questions they ask, so they can compare one with the other, and you're comparing apples and apples. And the program has been successful beyond to anything that I could imagine. I sent out 57 invitations, and I started with Donald Trump and Michael Pence and Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine, and came right on down our ballot. And I expected maybe to get 8 or 10, 12 or so people that wanted to be vetted by us. Well, so far I've had 27 responses.
Wow, that's
great.
And we've done 16 interviews conducted already, and I don't have all of them up. Most of them are still in draft form and can go out shortly. But that's just tremendous. We have a number of members of the Council of State. I'm really proud of that because we started out with, of course, the U.S. Senate Walter Jones, and he's the only, the U.S. House Walter Jones in House District 3. He's the only one at that high level in the state, the federal government that we've had a chance to vet. But at the state, we've had both people running for North Carolina Auditor. We have vetted the North Carolina Commissioner of Insurance, one of the candidates for that we have vetted. Superintendent of Public Instruction, we've vetted. North Carolina Treasurer, both of those people have been vetted with us. And then our own representatives like Norman Sanderson, North Carolina Senate, and Michael Speciale, North Carolina House. And I hope we'll be able to vet some other candidates for those positions. We're still working on it. But a lot of the judges, we do have an appointment with Bob Edmonds, it's critical, in North Carolina Supreme Court. And then we've got several people in North Carolina Court of Appeals judge, like Phil Berger, Linda Stevens, Hunter Murphy, Bob Hunter, Abe Jones. And you can tell by the list that some are Democrats and some are Republicans. So
I was going to reiterate that CCTA is a nonpartisan organization. Our invitations go out to both parties, all candidates.
So. Right. And I'm in hopes that we'll get all of the candidates for the local Board of Education vetted. We've heard from, I think, all but one.
Now, when Hal says local, he's talking about Craven County.
Yeah, I'm
and
sorry.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are now reaching out to Carteret and Beaufort County, some new areas that we haven't been into before. Mary?
I just want to mention that the vetting reports can be found on the cctaxpayer.com website.
Thank you. Yes, I was going to mention that. If you go to cctaxpayers.com, everything that we do in our organization is up there, including the radio shows are archived up there, but there's a tab that's labeled vetting reports, and you can get all the current reports. Hal gets them up there as soon as they have them compiled.
And I want to add one more thing. We've had a lot of interest from other conservative groups that want to pass those on to their members, and the largest one is Civitas. They've asked us if we can't make them available to their followers.
That's great.
So that's huge.
Also, we plan to keep these on file.
Absolutely.
And we're going to hold these people to the fire. I hope they don't think that they can blow smoke and tell us tell us what they think we want to hear, and we won't watch and see what they actually do. And then we'll try to send them on the way if they if they've told us some big stories.
And we make numerous visits as legislatures, like the state legislature and our county government. We make numerous visits. And so we'll have some of these things on record that we'll be able to later say, well, you haven't complied very well with what you said you were going to do, or on the other hand, you've done exactly what you said you would do. So,
all right. And when we were talking to Lockwood and Ben about the possibility of doing this show on 107.1, that was one of the things that Lockwood pointed out, that he had heard from so many people in Raleigh about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and how we show up. We do go to Raleigh frequently. One of the biggest efforts we had over the years is our effort against Common Core. Kim Fink was chair of the committee that led that effort, and we went to Raleigh. And as Lockwood said, he had heard that we had a better attendance record at those meetings than some of the people on the board.
And we got on first-name basis with June Atkinson.
Right. We were invited to speak with her on two occasions. And so, yeah, we will go to Raleigh. We will hold them accountable.
Michael Speciale said that a lot of the legislators up there will say, those crazy people from Craven County, how are they doing?
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Well, we're going to stop here for another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back and introduce some more members in just a moment. We appreciate our sponsors, large and small, because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you this program. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant. Also, Panicelli's Pizzeria, a family-oriented pizzeria in River Bend. Bite Me Firearms on Old Cherry Point Road in New Bern. And thanks to Sherwood Caraway, S&D Gun and Knife Shows is also a longtime sponsor. Another great supporter is RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news. That's RightWingGranny.com. B&J Seafood, specializing in fresh-caught North Carolina seafood on Highway 70 East in New Bern, and the County Compass, with thorough and honest news coverage, distributed free and serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Please stop by and support our sponsors. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're here in the studios with a number of the committee chairs of the various committees of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We last heard from Hal James. He chaired the vetting committee. He is also chairman of one of our most important groups, and he's acquired quite a reputation amongst our local elected officials. They know his address and phone number by heart. And that's because he shows up at all the county commissioners' meetings.
Not quite all of them, Rick, but
well,
I try.
Pretty much all of them. The high 90 percentile. But Hal, tell us about the job that the Watchdog Committee does.
Okay, Glenn read our mission statement, and part of it says we're dedicated to serve our community, our state, and our country through oversight. And I would add to that awareness, raise the awareness of the situation. And that's what the Watchdog Committee is all about. It's as an oversight committee and on our government. I think we've had quite an effect locally on the Craven County Board of Commissioners by going. We've had some successes and I'd say some failures in trying to meet at some of our goals and some of the issues that we have with them. One of them I think that we've been pretty successful with is the open government and transparency. They're now doing a monthly financial statement that you can go online and get that. So the open North Carolina's open meeting laws and what sometimes referred to as the sunshine laws kind of got me in a little trouble one time because those laws indicate that the audience should be able to follow what's going on in the business session, you know, with the meeting there with the Board of Commissioners.
Right.
I got lost. I could not follow what they were doing because they were looking at things there that they had passed out among themselves and talking about them, and we had no way of knowing what they were talking about. So I objected and said they were in violation. I stood up, and I, you know, not supposed to do that, but I stood up and said, Mr. Chairman, you're in violation of North Carolina's open meeting laws. And he asked me to be quiet. And he told me that it was on the website. So I asked Bob Griswold, who was sitting beside of me with a computer, see if you can find it on the website, Bob, when I sat down. And in a few minutes, Bob said, no, it's not on the website. How? So I interrupted again. And that time...
And how?
What?
Bob's a person can make a computer do any and everything, including whistling Dixie.
Yeah, that's why I was so glad to have him sitting beside him. And anyway, so Commissioner George Liner, who's the chairman, threatened to have me thrown out. And so I thought that was the better part of valor. I didn't want to get thrown out, so I sat back down. But then... it was Scott, Jason Jones, Commissioner Jones, and Scott Dacey both were really upset with it and threw me copies of what they were looking at.
Gosh, somebody needs to remind them who they work for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got a lot of fun out of picking on them through the county conference, too. Jeff Aylett was kind enough to let me write my side of the story on.
And yeah. After the meeting, they had to admit that it wasn't up on the website.
They did. They That's admitted right. that they were wrong, and they've been better about it. We had a little bit of a disappointment in it. We first got up to get rid of the consent agenda because a lot of stuff was thrown at the consent agenda when we first started going to those meetings. And it shouldn't have been. There were like large budget items and things like that in the consent agenda. And they did away with it, but then when some new members were elected this last election, they put the consent agenda back in. But they've been a lot more transparent about it. What they're going to talk about is in the agenda. If you get the full agenda, it's usually like 70 pages, could be 170. The full agenda printed out is humongous. It is really long. But that information is in there generally. And they haven't done any real huge items, you know, spend a huge amount of money or anything like that.
Right.
And the consent agenda said,
well, Hal, you have other members of your committee that go and serve at other functions like the school board. Ken and Glenn Fink attended all the school board meetings just about.
Right, and we've had some members go to some of the, like the Board of Aldermen and some of the other municipality meetings as well and report back to us.
Right. Well, so now that we're touching some new areas out here,
yeah.
Carter County,
the
other counties.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, if you're not satisfied with the way your local elected officials are doing their job and you want to become a watchdog, and provide us feedback. You can go to the cctaxpayers.com website, click on the contact form, and Hal James would be glad to work with you on setting up a watchdog effort in your local community. And just fill out that contact form with your information, and Hal will get back in touch with you.
Another thing I'd like to mention is that when they have their at the Craven County Board of Commissioners meeting, they do allow members of the public to speak for about 4 minutes. And oftentimes, members of CCTA have petitions, not only me, but a lot of them. And if a real hot issue came up, I think we had about a dozen or more people from CCTA get up and take their 4 minutes. And actually, they allowed each one of them to go ahead and take their full 4 minutes. So I think they do really appreciate us coming in, taking that much interest in what's going on in the government. They don't like it when we get on their case.
Right.
But on the other hand, they like it that we're there.
Well, we have had an impact. It's been obvious over the years, and we don't have time here for Hal to list all the successes that we've had or the number of dollars that we've saved the taxpayers by influencing the way they vote on. One thing that always amazes me is how it's not our money. It's a grant.
Oh, man.
Now, where do grants come from?
I'll give you an example of that. It really does bother me that we have a project going on right now, and it's to build an educational building out at the jail out there at Clark's. And I'm not sure, you know, that's one of the controversial issues we could talk about in a future program sometime. But here's what I wanted to say. I asked them what was it going to cost. Had there been any cost versus value analysis been done of this project? And they said, one of the commissioners told me, well, we probably can get some state or federal money for it.
Yep.
First thing out of their mouths.
And that's our attitude.
Yeah.
That's our attitude. It's not going to be any county money. It's, you know, we can get a grant for it. So yeah. Anyway, thank you for all the work you do. Bob, you had a comment?
I just wanted to add on. I know that you've made the appeal for other people that are interested in going to some of the meetings. Please join the CCTA. The membership is $12 a year, and we would love to have you in here. We'd love to have you participate in our business meetings and the open meetings where we have guest speakers.
That's
we have,
right. And we all have, you have to do that is on our website, on the homepage, list our current public meeting. We have the third Tuesday of every month. We have a meeting that's open to the public. It's at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. It's right across from City Hall. The directions are on the website. Come to one of those meetings. Bob will be glad to sign you up and get you a membership for being in CCTA. We're going to move on now to the National Security Committee. Gladys Sussel, you're chairing that right now, so tell us what's going on.
Okay, thank you. We started the group to basically learn about Islam and discover its infiltration into our society, into our schools, into our government, and into our culture.
So I take it you perceive Islam to be a threat to our security, since this is the National Security Committee.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Well, go ahead and explain that.
Okay. We are very concerned about the implications of the refugee resettlement, especially here in New Bern, and its effect on our welfare system, our schools, our healthcare system, etc. And it falls upon the taxpaying citizens to bear the additional burden of supplying the services to the people who do not have the same cultural values as we do, or the love of the United States as we do. Okay,
Gladys?
Yes.
The financial part is onerous. The safety issue is even bigger.
Exactly.
Are you going there?
She's going there.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We did have a public program in September, and it was on immigration. It was attended very well by about 170 people.
It was one of the largest groups we've had.
Yes, and we had two very distinguished speakers. Now, our main goal in the National Security Group is to educate the public. And to that end, we are in the planning stages of presenting an 8-week course on various aspects of Islam, such as Islam's treatment of women, treatment of blacks, how they recruit people, how it has infiltrated into our school curriculum. So we are very fortunate to have with us in our group an expert on Islam to help with that goal. We seek to dispel the myth that Islam is a religion of peace, but rather it is a political ideology that seeks to conquer and subjugate. The media has not been very honest, but rather has vilified anyone who speaks against Islam.
I'd like to kind of add, thanks again for having us all together here today, Rick. I really want to express the gratitude that my whole family has had for the educational resources from many, including the constitutional, the critical thinking classes. There's been so many educational resources. The study groups are phenomenal. There's been tremendous expertise of some of the members in our group. And then when you hear those amazing guest speakers and the access it has had to children and to my family and to the rest of us to gain such an incredible, deeper understanding of really what's going on in the world today. This group has really filled that huge, vast void that's left by this negligent news media. I mean, they're just all they're doing is lending their deceitful information and their opinions, and we get to the facts, and you can make your own decision on what those facts are to guide you.
Right.
And so, again, I just want to say the CCTA resources, they have been enlightening.
Thank you. As you mentioned the news media, what a perfect example as to what's going on right now in this election. All the uproar from the news media over some words spoken by one of the candidates. And I sit there, and this is the same news media on the same national networks that host the most vulgar entertainers and late night shows. And I heard somebody mention that, you know, if P. Diddy had come out with a song using the same words that this candidate for presidency used, that people would be rushing to iTunes to download it and buy it. So right. The right. hypocrisy of the media is astounding.
Worse than that, it's when you look at what organizations are grouped together that are Islamic-based, and maybe I'll be in trouble for that, and I don't know how to not be, but I'm sorry. But when you look at how these groups are gathered together to deliberately control, and when they say peace, what they mean is submit.
Right.
And are we supposed to really submit ourselves to believe this propaganda where the news media now has come out and has been now accused, and they're showing that this is true, that our news media is telling their employees, don't say anything bad about certain parties or races, or you're going to lose your job. Are Americans going to stand for that? The facts and the information that we gather as a group is empowering. And I am humbled by some of these people that make this stand and inspire me and the rest of us to dig deeper and to really search out those true facts. And I really am humbled by this group.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, on a future show, we need to do a little background study of the history of the media and how propaganda has worked in this country. I think that maybe our listeners would be really surprised. This didn't start yesterday,
no.
folks.
Well, you go ahead and prepare it, and we'll definitely do
We've
it.
We've got a course. We've got a course that we're studying on right now that will talk about historically some of that. You know, what did they do? And it's based, a lot of times we'll do those books and get a study group together. And I love those. Sometimes you can't go to every single one. And I've had kids that could come. I've been able to bring other kids. And even if you just get one or two of those, it's mind-boggling what you learn.
Right. Well, we've got to move on. But before we do, a couple of things you mentioned there. Number one, you talked about the expertise of the members of this group. It is astounding. We have experts in so many fields. A lot of retirees that spent their careers in these fields bring a wealth of knowledge to our group and experience.
They
and
donate their time, too.
Right.
They're not paid.
Well, they all have one thing in common. They love their country.
Right.
They love their God. And they want to serve. And that's what they're doing.
And in most cases, they don't like the direction our country seems to be moving.
Right.
Right.
And the other thing,
yeah.
You were talking about the refugee issue here locally in Craven County. I would like to mention CCTA was responsible. The chair of the National Security Committee at the time wrote a resolution and presented it to one of the county commissioners and convinced him to carry that forward. It went before the county commissioners and was accepted by a majority. So that resolution passed, and it was forwarded on 6-1 vote. It was forwarded on to the state level, and we've gotten quite a bit of attention on that.
We also did the same thing in Carteret County and presented it to the Board of Commissioners. They kind of put me off for a couple of months, but I kind of shamed them into, you know, bringing it up for a vote.
Persistence
and they
pays.
And it sure does. And they passed it 6-2. Well, it was 6 for it and 1 didn't vote for it. 1 abstained. So,
all right.
So we're
and,
happy.
You know, this is not a hate group. This has not got anything to do with discrimination or racism. Islam is not a race, number one.
Right.
So it's not racist or anything like that. It's all based on our security.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we're talking about
it's
here.
Really love of mankind. I just want to also thank everybody for the work they've done in their own committees. And often you can go right to that CC...
Taxpayers.
Got that, people? CCTaxpayers.com. And on there, they have these resources. You can go and look at some of the other radio broadcasts and... there's informational fact sheets out there. It's a great little resource.
Well, I think this ought to be the subject of a future show, maybe the whole show. We hear the expression radical Islam. And so there are people that feel like the 4 billion, is that right, people in the world that profess that as a religion? And or is it an ideology or is it a religion? Or can you separate the religion from the ideology? I think we could have a pretty deep discussion over
that. And if you've got an opposing opinion, cctaxpayers.com, contact form. If you want to be on a future radio show and present your side of it, we'll be glad to do that. We got to take another quick break. Be right back. Hope you stay with us.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We've got to wrap up here. You know, it's kind of crazy. We've doubled our time. We've got an hour now, and we still don't have enough time to cover. But we're going to move on to Rainer. Rainer, you are the chair of our Legislative Action Committee, and that's
sure
a very important function.
That.
And you're the one that plans all these trips to Raleigh and stuff. And
yep. Some of them are in support of the Education Committee and Kim's work with Common Core. Some of them are other things that we have done. Basically, they stem from our mission statement. We want smaller government. We're serious about that. We want lower taxes. We're serious about that. We want adherence to the Constitution. We want personal freedom with personal responsibility. All those things. So we've gone and talked from 1 to 3 times a month with our legislators. We've visited with as many as 8 or 10, or as few as 8 or 10, when Larry Pittman had his constitutional carry bill up, and we were supporting that. We thought it was coming up for discussion at a 1 o'clock caucus meeting. We scurried around and visited 60 some offices in one morning. When we stopped for lunch, it was when the caucus met. We were tired puppies, but pretty pleased with what we've been able to do so far. That did not get passed last session. If things go well, I expect it to come back again. We went in support of House Bill 2. Privacy is an important issue, and that is a much more simple bill than it's been made out to be.
We'll hear more about that next Tuesday.
Yes, that'll come up again. The con laws, certificate of need, a requirement that for certain surgeries and various medical procedures, one must have a certificate of need from the state in order to do it. Hospitals hold them. They are treated as if they exist. If a hospital has 4 certificates of need for operating rooms, say, it is treated in the la-la land of the state as if 4 hospitals exist, or operating rooms exist in that hospital. They don't necessarily. If a physician or physician's group can do some of these things on an outpatient surgery basis from an operating room associated with his or her office, it is much less expensive. It tends to be safer because his personnel specialize in that area of medicine alone, not hop from one thing to another as they do in a hospital operating room. We've talked about the concept of nullification or interposition. The federal government is intruding unreasonably and unmercifully on us. We want the state of North Carolina to interpose itself between the citizens of North Carolina and the federal government when it takes unconstitutional liberties with us.
Hear, amen.
Yes.
Rainer.
And there's one other thing I want to mention, and that's property insurance and FEMA flood maps. The Bigger Waters Act is a federal law that's being looked at. We've talked to Walter Jones a couple of times, trying to get him interested in protecting us from what's coming down the pike with that monstrosity. That gave me the idea that we really need 2 committees, a federal legislative action committee as well as a state legislative action committee, because it's going to need the work of 2 committees. And Nan, bless her heart, has agreed to take that ball and run with it. So we're expanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you, Nan.
Rainer, I would like to add that as we go up to Raleigh as a group, if we bring a number of people, we often get into the office and get the attention of the legislator.
We usually take 6 to 12 people. You're right. And the more, you get their attention, the merrier.
And we also need to remember what's called an elevator speech. You're not going to get their attention for very long.
Yep.
So you need to really, really zero in on what's needed.
Spot on, Bob.
That's been success.
Yes.
Well, it's nobody can argue that we have demonstrated time and time again that when you show up, you get results. So that's what CCTA is all about. Glenn, any final remarks?
I just would say, if you're listening to this, my original comments is the strength of our organization is our committees. And this should, I guess, highlight that. You heard very little from me. Again, my job is to stay out of the road, and I appreciate your listening.
Yes. Thank you very much, Glenn, for your leadership. Guys, y'all did a great job. Glad to have all of you with us. I want to thank you for all the effort you put into this organization. If you're listening, as Glenn said, we appreciate you, and we'd like to hear from you. cctaxpayers.com. Just click on the contact form. There's also a feedback button. Please let us hear from you and get involved.
Join us. We
if anybody's listening out there that wants to help sponsor our show, we'd like to talk to them.
Same thing. Contact
tune in
form.
Next week.
That's right.
We'll
next
have
week,
something else to say.
Every Sunday at 11 o'clock.
Never short.
Well, that was great. And the whole purpose of this show, our first show here on 107.1, was to be an introduction to you of CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. I'm not sure I introduced myself. I'm your host. My name is Rick Hopkins. I'm the most recent past chairman of CCTA. I served in that position for the last 3 years. And term limits, they do work, and I'm thankful for that. But I am vice chair now, in charge of programs. And speaking of programs, we have one coming up next Tuesday. It's the third Tuesday of the month, and every third Tuesday we have a public program. We invite special guest speakers. We select hot topics that we think will be of interest to you, and we bring those speakers in to elaborate on those topics. This month, our speaker is going to be Miss Tammy Fitzgerald of the NC Values Coalition, and Tammy will be speaking to us about House Bill 2. And well, I had a chance to talk to Tammy so she can tell us about what we can expect on Tuesday night.
As mentioned before, on Tuesday night, October the 18th, our public meeting, we have guest speaker Tammy Fitzgerald, attorney with North Carolina Values Coalition. She's executive director of that group. And Tammy has spent a lifetime serving and protecting pro-life, pro-family, and pro-religious liberty values. And she's going to be speaking to us on Tuesday night. And Tammy, can you give us a little preview of what you might be talking about?
Certainly. I'll be talking about House Bill 2 and how it was passed, the reason it was passed, and why it protects the privacy and safety for all citizens of North Carolina.
Well, those people that may not be aware right now, can you give us the current status of House Bill 2?
Well, House Bill 2 is law right now, and it was passed back in March, and it is the bill that requires men to go into the men's room and ladies to go into the ladies' room according to what's listed on your birth certificate. So this is a privacy and safety law, even though it's been horribly misrepresented by the LGBT activists from out of state who have come to North Carolina to try to bully the state into passing laws that they want that would basically change the definition of a person's sex. And so this is a law that we think many states around the country will be passing in the future, just to protect themselves from these types of insane encroachments upon people's freedom and businesses' freedom.
Absolutely. Well, as you are well aware, mainstream media is no friend of House Bill 2, and they're trying to present it that this is a big economic impact on our state, that we're losing billions of dollars from all these sports activities that have said they're not going to come here anymore. Do you see that that's a true statement?
Absolutely not. There was an article in the News and Observer a few weeks ago that said that even though there's been a lot of noise objecting to House Bill 2, that the actual economic impact on the state has been very minor. In fact, in the News and Observer, they said it was only $300 million. And I recently heard the governor talk about this. On the scale of our GDP in North Carolina, $300 million is 0.01% of our GDP. So it's virtually had no impact on the state's economy to date, in spite of all the rhetoric you hear coming from the left.
All right. And those are exactly the kind of facts we're looking forward to hearing on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. As I said, Tammy Fitzgerald with NC Values Coalition will be our featured speaker that night. And we look forward to having you with us, Tammy.
Thank you so much. I look forward to being there with you on Tuesday night.
Thank you.
There you have it. Ms. Tammy Fitzgerald of the NC Values Coalition will be with us Tuesday night. I apologize for the quality of the audio on that phone call. Tammy was on the road, and I was able to get a hold of her, and so we did that interview by telephone. Hope you were able to understand it. Again, third Tuesday every month, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association puts on meetings such as Second Amendment, immigration, health care. We've done quite a few, and they're well attended. We have snacks and coffee available prior to the meeting. Our meetings last for 2 hours from 7 to 9. The first part of the meeting is our guest speakers. And then the second part of the meeting, we open up for Q&A with the public. You get to ask questions. And often we have state legislators, congressmen, representatives, local leaders, mayors, sheriffs, aldermen and county commissioners attend the meetings. We have panels, discussion panels sometimes, especially during election seasons. We do candidate forums. So it's very interesting. Hope you'll join us this Tuesday night to hear Ms. Tammy Fitzgerald on a very relevant subject important to our state, and that's House Bill 2. Well, we've enjoyed bringing you our first edition of CCTA Wake Up Call here on 107.1. We'll be here every Sunday at 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock, and we'd love to have you tune in. And please go to cctaxpayers.com because we want to hear from you. What can we do to improve our show? What kind of information can we bring you? And please let us know. We'd appreciate that very much. There's all kinds of information while you're on the site. Please browse around. Take time to go back and listen to some of our previous radio shows. You'll find them under the Wake Up Call tab. Again, my name is Rick Hopkins. I'm your host of CCTA Wake Up Call. That's all the time we have for today, and we'll be back with you again next week.